On my message today, restored to be his temples. In 1 Corinthians 6, 19 through 20, there's a wonderful scripture that's revelatory, and it says, "What, know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you," everybody say, "in me," "which you have of God, and you are not your own. For you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." Our body is God's. Our spirit is God's. His spirit is in us, and our bodies are the temple of the Holy Ghost. This is a great revelation about your body that shows us why God takes responsibility to keep our bodies from being destroyed by the work of the enemy. Is that good news to anybody? He has a plan for our bodies. His plan is that we will bring him glory in and through our bodies. Now, some people have this wild idea that they can glorify God by suffering in their bodies. There is no scripture that even hints that. Jesus died to deliver you from suffering and pain and brokenness. And that's how we glorify God, in getting victory over everything the devil tries to do to destroy our bodies. And that's in your body, Bible, and you cannot disprove it. It is there. Our bodies are the very temple of the Holy Spirit. And that, so our destiny is to be carriers of his glory. You know, Satan is bound and determined to keep you from being God's resting place. Satan wants to destroy your body so there will not be one more carrier of his glory. If I could just get rid of Tommy, then he wouldn't be carrying the glory. If I could just get rid of Jane, then she wouldn't be carrying the glory. He wants to get rid of glory carriers. Because the whole argument from the beginning is about who gets the glory. And Satan wants the glory, and he'll fight for it, he'll steal for it, he'll kill for it. He doesn't want to just hurt you or cause you trouble. His ultimate aim is to kill you. He came to kill, steal, and destroy. That's in your Bible. He wants to destroy your body so you will not be another carrier of the glory. He wants to negatively affect your body and your psyche in any way he can to keep you from bringing glory to God every day and every place you go. The most powerful way then that I can fight Satan in what his plan is to destroy me is by becoming a resting place as the temple of his Holy Spirit. Being fully possessed by the Holy Ghost. I'll tell you how to keep from being possessed by the devil. Get possessed by the Holy Ghost first. Amen. I'm doing everything I can to get fully possessed by the Holy Spirit. This is not the method of man. This is not the way that man fights against the devil. He wants to fight by yelling at him and screaming and doing all kinds of things that are not really effective unless there's a real power in that, in all that noise. It's completely opposite of the way we think, which is we make an effort to try to keep pushing through somehow. It'll wear you out. Through the supernatural oil, you know, that was shared with us recently, we were also told that the order that was given to them for the oil was, keep giving it away so I can keep giving it to you. They were to give it away to all who asked for the purpose of, they said, healing, deliverance, and restoration. Those are three huge words. And it's what Jesus died for. John and I figured recently that if they've given away, which they say they have, 44,000 vials of oil, those little vials that they gave us, I've got two of them, thank God. I still have two. I'm just praying they'll reproduce themselves, because it's easy to get some. And so I want to, it would just be wonderful because it does have the property of multiplying when God chooses. That, so if they have given away 44,000 of these vials, each has an ounce in it, then they've given away 343 gallons of oil. I checked John's math on that three times. He said, honey, you don't think I can figure this? I said, I'm going to say it publicly. Make sure it's right. I know everybody will check me out. Don't do it during this service, okay? Do it later. But you're not going to be smarter than three times John Curran. Come on. How much must God desire for us to be healed, delivered, and restored if he's given away, that we know of, 343 gallons of supernatural oil to be used for that purpose? You think he might be extravagant in his thoughts about it? You know, restoration is part of redemption. The word redeem itself means to buy back, doesn't it? That's what you do at the pawn shop, to buy back. What Jesus did on Calvary paid the price to buy back everything we've lost, everything that was stolen from us, everything that disease has taken from us. He's a redeemer, and he buys it all back. Jesus didn't just die to rescue us, he died to restore us. He didn't rescue you to leave you broken.
Right.
He's sending out a fresh word that it's time now to be restored. It's time now to be restored. If you haven't been before, it's time now to be restored. Do what God's doing today and you'll move in the power of it. Jesus wants to heal your losses. He wants to restore everything that has been lost. He wants you to know that there is life after loss.
Yeah.
And that there's a future after failure. Stop believing the devil's lies. You are not washed up.
That's right.
It is not all over for you.
Amen.
It is not over. The best is yet to come. Out of the ashes of burned up dreams and burned out effort, God promises his beauty. Isaiah 61:3 is a wonderful scripture. To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Why? That, or so that, they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord. How many of you know trees don't get up and walk away? God wants people to be planted in his purpose, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. If this happens, then he will be glorified in your life. Notice that this is the purpose, that he makes us trees of righteousness so that the Lord might be glorified. That's his ultimate purpose. He wants to make us his temples that bring him glory so we can glorify God in our temples, which are the Lord's. In order to make us temples that glorify him, he has to replace the ashes with beauty. And he has to give the oil of joy to replace the mourning. Some people have been sick, have been sad way too long. Some people have been sick a lot longer than God ever is happy about. And he then has to give you the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Now, I observe that some people have tapped into the garment of praise this morning. I think that brought God glory. You were glorifying God in your bodies, praising God. And what his desire and his plan is and his promise, no more ugly ashes in your life. You know what ashes is, are? Ashes are what are left after something has been destroyed. No more ugliness from your destruction.
Amen.
God wants to beautify beauty for ashes.
Yes.
Oh, I hope I can get better. I hope we can do better. Oh, no, I hope you can do great. I hope you get really well. I hope you get stronger than you would ever believe. Don't settle for less than all that He's planned for you. The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. He wants you to get finished with that heavy feeling. I think, unless you're somebody I haven't met yet, I think everybody and all of us from time to time know what it is to have a feeling of heaviness, spirit of heaviness. You just feel heavy, and you begin to sort of question whether you should have hope or not, and you begin to feel sad, and you sometimes don't even know why. Times like that, I start feeling sorry for my grandmother, who's been dead many years. When you have a feeling of heaviness, you'll feel sorry for anything, anybody. You know what I'm saying? The devil makes it up. Remember your poor grandmother. She had such a hard life. This is no time for me to get involved in that. I've got a work to do for Jesus. Besides, I did the best I could for her while she was alive. I always tell the devil that. Joel 2:25 says, "And I will restore to you the years that the locust has eaten, the cankerworm and the caterpillar and the palmer worm, my great army which I sent among you." Now, I'm telling you that some of us have had different kinds of worms eating away at our success, at our health, at our victory, at our minds, eating away and destroying, you know, each of these worms in the natural, the locust, the cankerworm, the caterpillar, the palmer worm, each one of these destroys a different part of a healthy tree. Such as one destroys the leaves and one destroys the bark. And sometimes you've had to deal with different kinds of worms. Maybe some ate away at your health, and some ate away at your psyche, and some ate away at your finances, and some ate away at your victory. But I promise you, He said, "I'm going to restore the years." He's going all the way back and make the devil cough it up.
Yeah.
I will restore the years the locust has eaten. Redemption restores part that has been ravaged by the enemy's hordes. It's time to receive restoration, even if you sabotage your own life. It only means you have been an enemy to yourself. At times, the tree has still been eaten away by your own failure, but the promise is still that God restored. Maybe our slogan needs to be, "Don't join the worms." It's bad enough they attack us. Don't join the onslaught.
Yeah.
Partner with God. Partner with the promise of God.
Yeah.
Now, I want you to know today that this is not a message about all the things you can do right to get things straightened out in your life. John and I watched a very interesting program about Adolf Hitler's the way he thought and what his mindset was and what put the man together. And the most interesting thing about it, at the end, you know, he didn't at all arrive at his destiny, because he wanted to have another class of people, a super race. He wanted to have a race that had never been here before, and he wanted to see man do that for himself. And he thought, they thought, Hitler and the others thought, they could get rid of the ones that were not the way they wanted them to be. And they could make some changes, chemically or otherwise, and they could have a person that would build such a city that there would be such perfection in. Showed a picture of what this person might look like. Looked like Charles Atlas magnified several times. And I thought about that, Isn't man weird? He really thinks that someday he's going to perfect a model of a man. I have relaxing news for you today. You will never be perfect.
That's right.
You will never be as good as you want to be unless you don't want much. Get off this stuff about thinking you've got to be this and you've got to be that, and if you're not, then it's all over. Forget that. Because we have a God who restores the messes you make and the diseases that the devil gives you and all the worms he sends into your life. And he'll do it at every juncture you need him to restore, because that's his promise. And he hasn't promised perfection. He's promised restoration. God cares more about your warfare than you do. God fights for you. He wants you to be restored so you can be a carrier of his glory. You ever notice how sometimes you do the very things that go against you? I just feel so crummy. I'm just not going to church today. Maybe I won't even go anymore. Maybe I'll just wait till somebody calls and asks me what's wrong with me. Well, see, all you're doing there is going against the very thing that you need. Is to get in the midst of praise and worship and God's people. So at times like that, God's still caring for your restoration, even though you are doing the very opposite things of what you need to be restored. God is still fighting for you. And I want to show you this scripture of how God does what he promised is going to be done. He is not expecting you to do it. Aren't you glad? I sometimes wondered as I watched that German perfect man, which is absolutely impossible. Is this why people idolize sports heroes so much? Is because they're so much better at things than we are. And we always hope that there could be a Superman who could be wonderful. And we're always searching for that. Well, I've said to John before, he doesn't appreciate my sports comments sometimes. I said, oh, honey, if I did nothing but play tennis all the live long day, I probably could have been a pro too. I mean, most people got something else to do. He said, you don't understand. In Zechariah 3, he shows us how he does it. And this is really good news for you.
Yes, it is.
And I want you all to quit trying to get yourselves good.
I
want you to start believing in Jesus and do it the salvation way. There is therefore now no condemnation, no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. Do not receive condemnation under any circumstances. If you've done wrong or if you failed, you can repent. And if you repent and put that under the blood of Jesus, the blood is powerful enough to cleanse away not only the sin, but even the stain left by it. Put your trust in the blood of Jesus and his promise to always cleanse away your sins. So therefore, you need never be under condemnation. You just need to repent of your sins and get it right when it's wrong. So Zechariah 3, verse 1, and he showed me Joshua the high priest standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to resist him. And the Lord said to Satan, the Lord rebuke thee, O Satan. Even the Lord that has chosen Jerusalem rebuke thee. Is not this a brand plucked out of the fire? Now, I don't know who and all exactly this person is. I just know that what he represents for us is a brand plucked from the burning, which most of us were. We deserve to get our hides burnt completely up for the things we've been involved in. And yet the Lord plucked us out of the burning, didn't he?
Yes.
He plucked us out of the burning fire. And he put us in a place where we not only would be saved, but we would be restored and be different from what we were before. Now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments, weren't we? And stood before the angel. And he answered and spoke unto those that stood before him, God did, take away the filthy garments from him. And unto him he said, Behold, I have caused. I want you to say, I have caused. You can't cause your iniquity to get untwisted inside of you.
That's right.
But he can. And he can take away the iniquity. I have caused thine iniquity to pass from thee, and I will clothe thee with a change of raiment. And I said, Let them set a fair mitre on his head. Fair mitre translation. Nice looking turban. So they set a fair mitre upon his head and clothed him with garments. And the angel of the Lord stood by. And the angel of the Lord protested unto Joshua, saying, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, If thou wilt walk in my ways, and if thou wilt keep my charge, then thou shalt also judge my house, and shalt also keep my courts, and I will give thee places to walk among those that stand by. Joshua's part wasn't much. Walk in God's ways. Hey, just come to church, will you? Walk in God's ways. I mean, he asks you to do these simple God things. It is not legalistic to come to church every Sunday. It's obedience. It's also good sense. It's also what happens when you give your heart to Jesus and hunger and thirst to be in his presence. But you know that I read yesterday that the advertisement has been, the polls have shown, oh, that so many percentage, I think maybe it's been 30 or more percent of people in America go to church on Sunday on a more or less regular basis. Well, less should have been less regular basis, because the head count proved that it's 20%, and it falls every year. Now, I want to tell you something. There's a deception that because there's a lot of big churches around, that there's a whole lot more Christians in America than there used to be, and there's so many more less people, so many fewer people than when we came into this ministry. I think back then it was something like 40%, half, 20%. And the reason for that is that people are willing, they're willing to go along with this. Even the churches, as they turn in their figures and all, sometimes have bringing their, however they have figured it, hasn't actually tallied with what the head count really was. That the only point that they were making in the article was how people, less and less people, are going to church on Sunday in America. That's why we need revival. You're not going to get that to change by having a church like everyone needs, because that one can't be found anyway. But what's going to happen is that the power and the Spirit of God is going to draw people back into his presence. So if you will walk in my ways, and if you will keep my charge, just simply do the things that I'm asking you to do, walk in obedience. And then he says, then I'll let you judge my house and keep my courts, and I'll give you a great place among those that stand by. How could God say this to him? Because he had cleansed him. He had given him a fair mitre. He had given him a new robe. He had put him in a completely different place. He had taken the iniquity away from him. And now he says, if you will just simply walk in normal obedience before me, your life is going to be wonderful. See, it's God who fights the battle. He's the one that rebukes Satan for you. Joshua is a type of every man that stands in his own sin, sensing his own lack in the presence of God. This is why some people have a hard time praising. The devil's always telling them, you can't praise like all these other nice people. Well, how nice do you know that we are? You don't know that. And some of us might have learned some real spiritual looking postures and gestures, and you say, they must be wonderful. Or maybe we just learned how to look wonderful. Everybody's just who he is, and everybody has to stand and give an account for himself. And God hadn't asked you to try to be like me. He's asked you to be like Jesus.
Yeah, right.
Verse 4 and 5 show us God's restoration. He tells those standing by to take off his filthy garments and to give him a clean one. This is the work of the Son of God. He has a robe of righteousness waiting for everyone who comes to him. For he says, I have caused thine iniquity to pass from thee. They put a fair miter on his head, and now he can have the mind of Christ, and his struggle to think right has ended. He chooses to think God's thoughts after him. The big problem that we have, if it's with unbelief or whatever, the problem is in our heads. That we're thinking our old thoughts. We are not having a renewed mind, but the scripture says there's a cure for that. Romans 12:2. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. I woke up in the night, and somehow it seemed like I wasn't sleepy anymore. So I was lying there, and I didn't mean to, but I was thinking about this, I was thinking about that. And then suddenly just came through my thoughts about this something that someone had done. And as soon as I thought of it, I said to that thought, I don't wake John up. I don't say this out loud. But so I just said inside my head, who told you could come in? Get out of here. And if you don't, I'll sing in my head. I can do that too. I do not allow the enemy to form my thoughts or to suggest thoughts to me that I should have, because I know the scripture says whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, so forth. Think on these things. And so you can have a renewed mind. That's what he did when he put the fair miter on his head. When he gave him a brand new clean turban, he said, you're going to have to start thinking right in order for me to cleanse you and make you new. In 2 Corinthians 5:21, he talks about, he's actually talking here about the robe of righteousness that he put on Joshua here. Give him, take that filthy garment off. You know what your filthy garment is your own good, righteous, holy works that you do in your own flesh. And so the Lord says, whenever you're ready to trying to be saved by your own works and to do things your own way, I've got a garment for you that you're going to love. It is called my robe of righteousness. It takes all the effort about, but it makes you righteous still. And you don't have to worry about whether what the devil thinks about you or what anybody else thinks about you. You just have to embrace the work that I've done. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, for he has made him to be sin for us. This is Jesus. He has made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. What an exchange. I am the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ. Now, if I do things wrong, I need to repent and get back. I need to get my standing, my state of operating right before God. But my righteousness doesn't change, because Jesus has done that for me, and because I believe that he did, and I believe that he's faithful is he who called me, who is able to do it. You know, if then when God does this work in us like he did for Joshua, once he does this work, that was restoration. He said, now that you are restored, then I'm going to give you charge of my courts. Seems to me like maybe this is a backslidden priest of some kind, Joshua. Because apparently he maybe at one time had charge of the courts. I mean, aren't you glad that you have a part in the work that God's doing? We are all priests before him, and we are a priesthood before God. But you see, he is saying to us from time to time, when we realize that we are not right and we have to stand before him, I want you to go with me, Don. That's why I'm squeezing your fingers. How's your toe doing? Okay, he's a great God. Isn't he a great God? It's fun to be full of the joy of the Lord, isn't it?
Yes.
The joy of the Lord is my strength. Boy, that's a terrible key. Is my strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Oh, the joy of the Lord is my strength. 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 Oh, the joy of the Lord is my strength. You know, it's the funniest thing. Eddie doesn't know these charismatic songs. Eddie and I ended up at the same place, but he came through the Pentecostal church and I came through the charismatic way. And so I learned, we could sing tons of scripture. I still do it myself. And I just love it. I'm going to make him learn just three or four of them that I think are really good. That's good. Because by singing the scripture is one of the main ways that I learned it. When I really didn't know much about the scripture at all. So I've talked to you this morning about being restored to be his temple. And this is what he wants. We are the temple of the Holy Ghost, and your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit is in you. If you're a born-again believer, the Holy Spirit is in you. And the most wonderful thing, because of that, then God has a special care over your temple, your body. And not just the physical part. How much good is your physical part, even if it's healthy, if you've got a mixed up psyche? What if you're a depressed person, or you're oppressed, or you're just a person who you're just negative? I was talking to a doctor about a person one time, and the doctor said, so-and-so-and-so, I think we should give her this for depression. And I said, I didn't know she was depressed. I thought she was just negative. He said, there's not any difference. Well, that was a revelation from a doctor. Thank you, doc. You can't go around being depressed. Now, that doesn't mean you have to be a phony, baloney, hyped-up Christian bouncing off the walls. But I am saying you need to get back again and again to the place of joy if you're not there. And get in the scripture and do the things that are involved in that. So I just felt that the Lord wanted me to let you know today that this is the time and day and hour of restoration. It's a new day. It's a new day. And if you haven't been restored before, he wants you to start believing that. Now, he doesn't want you to try to restore yourself. That's why I told you about Joshua the high priest and the filthy garments, and who needed a fair miter. Right. It's because this is a picture that he comes before the presence of God, but I just love it because it is clear that God does all of this for him. And there could be someone here today that you've never given your heart to the Lord at all. And you say, I need to have the Holy Spirit in me so I can be a temple of the Holy Spirit. Isn't that the most wonderful thing?
Yes.
He wants us as individuals to be his dwelling place. And then this morning in our worship service, I so sensed we were his dwelling place.
Yes.
I just felt that we were doing what the Lord wanted us to do. During the worship today, we were giving him glory, and we were praising him, worshiping him, loving him, as the scripture says for us to do. And in the days ahead, I think some of you are going to get on a path of restoration like you have not been on before.
Amen.
And we anointed people last two Sundays with some oil that we received from some people that they're good friends of John Kilpatrick's, and he knows them, and he says that they're very good, trustworthy people, and they run with a circle of Church of God people down there that they are all friends together. And I see people here today I didn't see last Sunday, so that's why I'm telling you this, is that after they had been praying and really seeking the God for almost a year. One night they went home from the prayer meeting, and a man and his wife spent 3 days just in prayer in their home. And the man gets up this morning and he sees just a spot of oil on his Bible, on Psalm 39. And the next day he sees more oil. And over a period of days, the oil saturated the pages and went all the way through the book of Revelation. And then went back to Genesis 1 and saturated it with oil all the way up to Psalm 39. But then the oil began to run out of the Bible on the table that the Bible was placed on. And so they got... he started carrying his Bible around in a big, what are those? Ziploc bag. Carried around like that for a while, and then he noticed, thought he was joking. He said, you know, you could get a vial of oil out of that corner there. And it wasn't long before there was so much oil in the baggie that they had to put it in a bucket, in a completely different kind of container. And one morning he got up, and the oil was sitting there in an open container, and it was spilling all over the sides and down onto the table. So he had to go out to Walmart's and get a much bigger one. And then the Lord said to them, this is for healing and deliverance and restoration. And if you will keep giving it away, I will keep giving it to you. And so they believe then that this is God's time especially to restore as never before. Because not just healing for your body, but restoration, a buying back of all the things you've lost and the things that have been stolen from you. I mean, a complete redo job, just like he did for Joshua, standing there, just saying, I have nothing to offer you but my filth and my failure. Can you imagine what kind of a God we have? He said, take those filthy clothes off of him and put that clean garment on and put a clean turban on his head. And let him know that he's going to be in a different place now. I want you to know that what God wants to do for you now is going to put you in a place where he can give you charge in his house. Yes. He can hand out to you ministries and things that you need to be involved in. Because I'm going to tell you that the harvest is getting ready to come in, because they're hungry and they're needy and they need to be healed. And he wants to use you in that. How many of you want to be used by God in the coming harvest? I do. I want our whole church to be used. I want it to be full. You know, there's a scripture that says he calls the walls salvation and the gates praise. I just want this church, the very walls, to be salvation. The very entrance in to be praising gates. Everything about it, just that people know it's a place to go and praise God and get saved and get restored and get healed. But it starts with you and me receiving our healing, receiving our restoration. Are there some here this morning, are there a few anyway, here that have not been prayed for and anointed with this oil? It's for healing, it's for restoration, and it's for deliverance. If so, I want to invite you to come up, and we're going to pray for you if there's any of you that... Well, Eddie, I want you to go ahead and sing something for us here. And if you have not been prayed for with this oil, I think this is one of the steps of faith we're taking right now. We're just simply saying, if God has sent something supernatural as a sign and a wonder to show his love, then I want to have a part in that. I want to receive whatever it is that God wants me to receive from that. Would